are continuing our epic journey through the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul's letter to the first letter to the Corinthians. We have just almost hit a year. We started last October, and so we're going to finish before just before this October. We've got two more weeks to go, this week and next week. God's been really speaking to us, I believe, particularly through these last 4 weeks, all the way through the series, I hope, but particularly these last 4 weeks, we've been looking at the whole area of gifting, about everyone playing their part, everyone having a gift in the body of Christ, and that's kind of the subject that the last few chapters of Corinthians look at. And let me, just before we get into this week's topic, let's just dig out four of the foundations that we've picked up, so they should come up on the screen, hopefully, behind me. Four kind of foundations that we've got here. The first is this. Why don't you read these with me, okay? So I'll read them one at a time, okay? Number one, God gives gifts to his church. Everyone gets one. Many of those gifts are supernatural in nature. Many are practical. Both are valuable. So everyone gets a gift, okay? Everyone. Say everyone. 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 Everyone gets a gift. Okay, secondly, God gives gifts not randomly, but to those who want them. Those who are faithful with the gifts they already have, those who will use them for kingdom advancement. God is not picking and just throwing out gifts randomly. He is a good father who chooses and gives gifts to his children. Okay, number three. It's essential that we all play our part and use our gifting for the body of Christ to achieve its objective. God has got us on a mission to reach this town, to demonstrate the kingdom wherever we go. It's essential that every one of us plays our part. And fourthly, the Bible commands us to live eagerly desiring more gifting. We've learned and seen that the cap on our gifting is not on God's end, but on our end. And that that's not meant to condemn us, but to set us free to explore the boundaries that God wants us to reach. Okay, so this week we're picking up at chapter 14. So if you have a Bible, you want to turn to that. And we've got it on the screen as well. We did chapter 13 just before the summer. And so we're picking up chapter 14, verse 1. And we're looking at two really key gifts. Firstly, the gift of prophecy. And secondly, the gift of tongues. Two gifts for connecting with God. And that's what we've entitled tonight. So let's just pray, shall we? And then we'll read. Father, I pray that you would come impart your gifting to us tonight, Lord. Let this not just be words, but let your power come tonight. And we want to encounter you, and we want to receive gifts from you. We want to receive faith, Lord, that you would equip us for all that you're calling us to do as individuals, as a church together. And I just say and call and ask, Holy Spirit, will you come descend? Will you raise faith for gifts to come into our hearts tonight, Lord God? We ask it in Jesus' name. Remove any disqualification that anyone feels, any sense of I'm not good enough or I'm not worthy. God, I pray you blow those out of the water. Take those out of our hearts tonight. Enable us to walk out of here free and able to receive all that you have for us and to live in it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me just read from 1 Corinthians 14, then, verse 1. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. So Paul's just done a whole chapter on love, where he said the foundation for the gifts operating has to be love. Especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. No one understands him. He utters mysteries in his spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding, their encouragement, and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more I want you to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets that the church may be built up. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? Just skipping through to verse 13. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I'll pray with my spirit. I'll pray with my mind also. I'll praise with my spirit. I will sing with my mind also. So what are these gifts of prophecy and tongues that Paul's talking about this evening? And I'm conscious that we'll have a real mix of people here. Some of you will be familiar with tongues and prophecy. Some of you, this will be the first time you've ever heard it. That tongue was brought earlier, that might be the first time you've ever heard one. So I'm going to try and give something for everyone here tonight. Just to let you know, in a few weeks' time, I think at the beginning of the 10th of October, we're going to do three evenings on prophecy, okay? So if this whets your appetite tonight, you want to delve in deeper, really grow in your prophetic gift, really receive a prophetic gift, then I urge you to come on that. That'll be a lot of fun as well. So what are these gifts? First one, prophecy. Well, a good definition of prophecy is this: speaking forth the mind and the counsel of God is the declaration of that which cannot be known by natural means. It's speaking forth what is on God's heart. It's declaring something that you couldn't otherwise have known and speaking it out. Some people would think, well, prophecy is just about telling the future. But it's much more than that. It's declaring God's now word for us as his people. And so tonight, when PJ brought that word that he brought, it just feel that the temperature rose, didn't it? That God is the God of the suddenly. That was something that God was wanting to communicate to us tonight. And it brought faith to us that God is doing something in our midst. And that's what prophecy does. So a few points then. Firstly, the most basic level of prophecy is available to every believer. Every single one of us can prophesy. You may be familiar with the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, Moses was the great prophet of the Old Testament. And there's a time where when Joshua, who was kind of his young would-be sidekick, was with him. And then he went out into the camp of Israel. And as he was there, he saw some other people prophesying. And he kind of came back like the goody two-shoes. Moses, I've seen some other people prophesying. And Moses is like, are you jealous for my sake? Are you jealous for my sake? He said, I wish that all of God's people would prophesy. And it was kind of like the great prophetic statement from one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, that all of God's people would prophesy. And of course, when the Spirit came, when Jesus had been raised, and in Acts, and you can read it there yourself, the Spirit came and Joel had prophesied. And Peter refers to that and he says, Joel prophesied, he said, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your young men and your young women will prophesy. Prophetic utterance was going to go out on the whole body of Christ. And so every one of us can prophesy. We can all hear God's voice and walk in it. And Paul says here, eagerly desire prophecy. I don't think he would say that if it weren't available to all of us. You know, I used to say, God never speaks to me. Has anyone ever said, don't put your hand up. But I used to say that, God never speaks to me. But you know what I've realized? I was totally mistaken. God is always speaking, and he was always speaking to me. And it was a real revelation to me that when I realized that if there is a problem in my relationship with God, the problem is never on God's end. He's never had to say sorry. If there is a limiter or a difficulty in our relationship, the problem is always on my end. And that's not to condemn myself. It's not to put myself down. It's not to make me feel bad. It's just the truth. And when I know where the problem can be fixed. Whereas if I always think, well, God's just holding out on me. He speaks to others, but not to me. Poor old me. You know, when I get to heaven, I'm expecting an apology. No. It's not going to work like that. God is always speaking. The problem is my end. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. If you're a believer here today, then you know the voice of God. And you might say, well, I don't know. Listen, it's like a radio. You've got a radio set. You've got it sitting at home. The signal is always there, but it's not until you learn how to tune it in that you can really start to receive it. God is always speaking, and like a radio, we need to learn how to tune in. Say this: God is always speaking to me. One or two of you believe that. Anyway. God is always speaking. And secondly, like all the gifts, there are different measures of prophecy. There are different measures. The most basic level we can all have. But as that gift grows, it becomes a ministry where we prophesy on a regular basis. And you'll know there's some here, people like Wendy, Tabs, PK, John Strange, those guys, they prophesy on a regular basis. And so they have a ministry. And as that grows, it becomes the office of a prophet. Someone who's released locally, someone who's released nationally to speak prophetic words on and that becomes kind of their primary calling. That's how they operate. We had a lady come who had an incredible prophetic gifting, and she came to speak to some New Frontiers leaders over in Milton Keynes. Oh, no, it was in Bedford. And I was there. There was about 40 of us. And she had this bizarre thing where she's gone to be with the Lord now, but she had this bizarre thing where she would sing her prophetic words, and sometimes, which was strange. And sometimes she would rap them, which was even weirder. And so she was going around rapping and singing these words. And she did the first four or five, and, you know, they were all right, you know, but, you know,
they're kind of general. And then she got to me, and she started her rap, and she started her rap, and she said, and at that time I was working in IT. I wasn't doing what I'm doing now. I think I might have been doing it part time, but I was largely working in IT and working with computers and stuff. And she says that she started in her rap, which I won't rap to you. In her rap, she said, I see networks of computers, networks and networks of computers, computers linked together. That's how you do your job. And you could feel, I mean, everyone in the room knew me, and you could feel faith just rose straight away because she had never met me before. She had knew nothing about me. There was nothing about me that would signify that's what I did for a living, because I'm pretty cool. And so she brought this word, and just faith word, and that, she had incredible ministry, and she did that time and time again around the room. You know, we can discount ourselves often when we see great gifts like that come into the church. We can think, I'll never be like that. You know, pity me. I'll never be like that. We discount ourselves, don't we? Listen, God does not put great gifts into the church to make us jealous. He puts great gifts into the church to inspire us to ask for more. When you see great gifting, let it inspire you to ask God for more. There is no limit of power. It's not like God can just bless one person. There is no limit. God can bless all of us with his power. He's not holding out. And sometimes he picks one or two and raises them up. Why? To make us all jealous and feel, oh, no. To make us feel inspired that we can do more. To raise the ceiling on what we've seen as possible before. And when I see gifting like that, I try not to get jealous. I try to say, God, thank you for that gifting. Lord, now give me more. Give me more, because your body and the world needs it. There's a proverb that says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings to search it out. Glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings to search it out. What does that mean? It means this. God is not hiding things from you. He is hiding things for you. He's not hiding things from you. He is hiding things for you. Electricity was hidden for generations. It wasn't hidden from us. It was hidden for us. We have an extravagant, lavish God who hides things like a loving father, not from us, but for us, so that we're on this great adventure with him, discovering more. And it applies to us as a church. It applies to us as individuals. We're moving with a father who just on the journey is leaving gifts behind for us to find all the time, just like a giant Easter egg hunt in the spirit. He's leaving stuff and hiding it, not from us, but for us to discover. And I believe God is so vast that for all eternity, we will be discovering more. We'll be discovering more and more and more of him. And it stops it getting boring. There's always more out there. God doesn't put great gifts in the church to make us jealous, but to inspire us to go after him for more. He's hidden great gifts. And I can guarantee you, he has hidden great gifts for each one of us here. And he's wanting you to eagerly desire them, to go after them, to pursue them, to look for them. And you say, why do you have to do it? Why does he do that? Why don't you just plonk it in my lap? Maybe it's so that we value the things that he gives us. Maybe the eagerly going after it prepares our hearts so that when we get the gift, we're ready for it. And prophecy comes in different forms. And another reason we can't discount ourselves, because people get different prophecies in different forms. To some, the scripture just comes alive. The Bible just comes to life. To others, they get pictures in their minds. To others, they have just a word or a phrase. To others, God speaks through dreams. Caroline's often waking up in the morning, oh, I had this great dream. I'm like, oh, again, Lord, bless that gift. Let me have one. She always has these great, great dreams. And she dreamed that we were given $1.3 million the other day, which is wonderful. I did enjoy that one as well. And she has this great gift, and God speaks to her in her sleep. You know, people, God gives prophetic gifting in lots of different ways. It's all out there for us to go after. Thirdly, prophecies intended to build up, to encourage, to console. That's what this passage we read said. Prophecies intended to build up, to encourage, to console. Joy was telling me, Joy Byron, for those of you know, was telling me a few weeks ago, she was in the bank, and I think it was in the bank, and the lady in front of her, she thought, oh, God's speaking to me about this lady. freaking. And so she thought, I really feel like God's speaking to me about it. And so she kind of tapped her on the shoulder, never met her before, and said, I feel like, you know, I'm a Christian, I feel like God's got something to say to you, and it's this: you're really anxious, you're thinking about moving, and you're really anxious about it. And the lady was like, you know, that is absolutely right. I am thinking about moving, and I'm really anxious about it. You know, unfortunately, the lady was a Christian, so they got over the weird factor pretty quick. And this lady was encouraged that God was concerned just for her. You know, that word console means a whispering in the ear. It's like God comes and whispers in our ear, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. I know you. And sometimes in the vast sea of humanity, we can feel like just a dot, just a blip, just a nothing. Just so insignificant. But God is so vast. His heart is so large. He knows every single one of us. And prophecy comes to encourage us that that is the truth. Often when you see prophetic words given in a service, which we're going to do at the end, people are asking God for words right now. And asking for ones and the others of you. So don't look behind you. They might be asking God. So they're asking God for words right now for you. And some of us will get words and some won't. And what about the ones that don't? Well, I always look at it like this. God picks out a few ones to encourage us all, that he knows us all. He knows us all. Prophecy comes to encourage, to build up. And any prophetic word that you receive or get from someone, where someone says, I feel like God's saying this to you, if it doesn't leave you with a sense of being encouraged or built up, then either it was wrong completely and you should just bin it, or you misinterpreted it and you misunderstood what the prophetic person was trying to say, or they brought it in the wrong way, something like that. Something must have gone wrong. Let that be a guard for you, a measure for you, because prophecy is always meant to leave us with a sense of being built up. Say this with me. God is always speaking to me. I can hear God's voice. Try and make this decision with me, as I've done, never to say again, God does not speak to me. Make that decision in your heart, because it's a lie. We just need to step into what he's saying. So that's a brief primer on prophecy. Secondly, tongues. What about this weird gift of tongues that we heard, and I brought a tongue in the worship? And you need to know that I was praying that somebody else would bring one, and I believe that someone else had one, but you chickened out, didn't you? And I said that in grace, of course. next time, bring it. This weird, and if you've never heard a tongue before, you're thinking, what on earth was that, weren't you? Come on, I know. And you're thinking, what was that? And you're thinking, surely that was just made up, wasn't it? Surely that was made up. Well, let me tell you, I tried to speak in tongues for years, like Greta. I tried for years and couldn't. I found it impossible to fake. When we were teenagers, we would hear people speaking in tongues, and we'd take the mick out of them. We found that the English phrase, she came on a Honda and a bottle of shandy, if you say those fast enough, they actually sound like tongues. You know, she came on a Honda, a bottle of shandy. And so we would say this, and some of you are like, so irreverent, I know. But we would say stuff like this just to take the mick out of people, because that's what it sounded like to us. It sounded like gibberish. But you know, deep down, I desperately wanted this gift. I desperately wanted this gift on my life. And I was in my late 20s and a few years ago, two or three, and I, as I was laughing far too heartily, not that far. I was in a meeting, about 60 of us, and this guy, he came from a Pentecostal church, and we were all stiff and starchy, and he was there, this wild Pentecostal, and he said, I believe God wants to give the gift of tongues to some people tonight. And do you know what? As soon as he said it, I knew that I was going to speak in tongues. It was the strangest thing. It was like faith just hit me. And I'd prayed and prayed for years for it and given up. But as soon as he said that, I knew I was going to speak in tongues. So he said, you know, if you want to stand up. And there were six of us that stood up. And he did it in the most bizarre way. He said, right, I'm going to pray for you. Then I'm going to count to three. I'm going to click my fingers. And then you are going to speak in tongues. And so, you know, it was so odd. And anyway, so he did it. He prayed, simple prayer, counted to three, clicked his fingers, and five of the six of us immediately started speaking in tongues. It was amazing. There was such a the power of God, and they prayed for the other sixth one. Anyway, I walked home that night, and I thought, I've got to keep speaking in tongues because it might stop. I might lose it. So I kept speaking in tongues all the way home, and I was praying in tongues, and eventually I had to go to sleep, you know, like 2 a.m, and I went to sleep, and I woke up in the morning, it's gone. Oh no, it's left me. But no, I had the gift again, and I could continue speaking in tongues from that point. Some of you now think I'm absolutely insane. That's okay. PJ is the same one around here. Anyway, so tongues. That is the gift. What is it about? What is it about? It says in verse 2, the one who speaks in tongues speaks not to men, but to God. Tongues is like a heavenly prayer language that, as Ewan said in the worship, it kind of wells up from inside of us. It kind of goes beyond our normal vocab and takes us to a different place. It's clear that there are two different types of tongues. There's public tongues, which Paul's talking about in this passage, which is tongues that must have an interpretation, because without it, it's just gibberish. And the Corinthian church were just doing, you know, loads of people speaking in tongues and no one had a clue what was going on, and it was all a bit of a waste of time. Paul says you've got to have interpretation. But there's also private tongues. So when I pray in tongues on my own, when I do that, I don't have an interpretation. So it's clear that tongues is speaking, us speaking to God. And it's great in the situation where you're praying. I don't know if you've ever been in this situation. You're praying for something and you just haven't got a clue what to pray. What should I pray in this situation? Well, Paul says in Romans, the answer to that, one of the answers, is tongues, if you have that gift, to use it in that way. He says our spirit speaks mysteries when we don't know what to pray. It prays from within us, the spirit within us. Tongues, the purpose of tongues is to build us up, to strengthen us, to fortify us. I was walking down by the river this week, and you know the bit of the river, you might have seen it on the far side, where it goes down three really big steps, and the river goes down, and the water just pours down these three massive steps, and there's a bridge right by it, and you can stand there and watch the little duckies clacking around. And the ducks stay well clear of this, because this is real dangerous water for them. But I noticed, which I'd not seen before, standing on the middle of two of these steps were two swans. And they were just standing there as if nothing was going on, you know. And this water was pouring. And if you've seen it, it really moves it down there. And they were just standing there as if it was just no big deal. Feeding off the side. They were just quite happy. And something in my spirit said, God, make me like those swans. Not make me a cantankerous old bird, because I'm a bit like that anyway. But no, make me with the strength to stand in today's culture. To stand against the river. I don't know, as a Christian or someone looking in, you might feel the river that comes against you. Skepticism, unbelief, cynicism, materialism. It's like a wall of water sometimes that comes against us. And we need strength to stand, don't we? We need strength and courage to stand. If anyone thinks a Christian life is easy, no one surely thinks that. And I used to be lazy with the gift of tongues, but Paul says, he who speaks in tongues builds himself up. I used to be really, really lazy with it. I had this gift. I prayed for it for years. It's the strangest thing. But then I got really lazy. I thought, what's the point of this? It's just gibberish, you know. It's just rambling on. What is it? What's it all about? And so I'd pray maybe once a week when I felt like it. And but then just recently, I found that I started to read more and more, as Greta was saying, more and more people who move in signs and wonders, as I'm wanting to increasingly do, move in great healing power. Numbers of them pray in tongues for extended lengths of time. So Ram Babu, one of the guys who's linked with New Frontiers, he's seen incredible signs and wonders, blind eyes open, that kind of thing. People get out of wheelchairs. He speaks in tongues. He says, I never let a day go past without speaking in tongues for 3 hours. So he does that, and there's like people like Catherine Coleman. She used to walk around in front of her meetings before, praying in tongues, saying, Holy Spirit, you've got to come. You've got to come. And she wouldn't go out. She'd have thousands of people waiting for her. She would not go out until she knew that the Holy Spirit had come, because she knew that there were people there who, if they did not get healed that night, they were going home to die. And she knew she needed God because she couldn't heal them. And so she was praying tongues for hour upon hour, and many others. And I started to read this, and I thought, actually, I need to make a commitment to, and I thought, I can't do 3 hours, you know, I'm not hardcore. But, you know, I'm kind of lightweight. So what I could do is I could do 30 minutes. You know, I reckon I could do 30 minutes a day. And so so I made this commitment about 5 months ago, and I haven't spoken about it with anybody really because I wanted to just make sure I could do it. So I thought I'll make this commitment to speak in tongues for 30 minutes a day. So I've done that. So over the last 5 months, I've spoken in tongues for about 30 minutes a day, apart from about 8 or 10 days maybe that I missed. And sometimes I'm just really tired and I haven't had a chance to pray that day, and I'm like, I've got to go to bed. Oh, no. Okay, and then I just do it, and it's just pure discipline. And sometimes just the presence of God comes. Sometimes it's just hard graft. There's rarely an angel appears. Well, never actually. The first, it was just 5 minutes was all I could do, and I had to take a break. And go at it again. But I thought, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to discipline myself. And I tell you what, over the last 5 months, this is just my story. Over the last 5 months, I feel like I've become more spiritually alive than I've ever become. And I put that partly down to the discipline of tongues. It's done something in me. I feel like my other gifts have been accelerated. So, for example, that my teaching where I teach on a Sunday and other places, I feel like it's been accelerated because of being disciplined about tongues, because of going for it in tongues. And I think that God has done something in that. And I used to spend hours preparing, and I still do, but now I spend the first 2 or 3 hours just praying in tongues. And often I'll just get point after point after point. I'll just read the passage and pray in tongues. Point after, I'll just write it down, and I'll just get on my laptop and just type it up. And then I have to cut it back by about 10 pages. Because in doing so, I thought there's something in me that's tuning in to what God's wanting to say to the church. So that's my story. And tongues is not ever meant to create a first or a second class Christian. You know, you can or you can't. It's never meant to do that. That's just my story. But there's a principle here, I think. There's a principle here that's important for us to get hold of, and it's this. Moses stretched out his staff, it said, and God parted the water. Naaman the leper dipped himself 7 times in the water in the Jordan, and then God healed his leprosy. David threw the stone with his slingshot, but God killed the giant. What's the point? If we do what only we can do, then God will do what only God can do. If we do what only we can do, then God will do what only He can do. And I think there's a really important spiritual principle. It helps us with these disciplines. We don't discipline ourselves to earn God's favor, but because we have His favor. But when we do what only we can do, then God comes and does what only He can do. And I think there's something about that that we need to get hold of. It applies to all the gifts as we discipline ourselves faithfully to do the part that we can do. Now, people grow in prophecy by opening their mouths and stepping out. They start speaking in tongues by starting to speak, by asking for the gift and then starting to speak. In all of the gifts, we grow as we do what we can do, and then God comes and promises to come and do what He can only do. Tongues is an essential gift for the whole church, and we need to combine it, though, when we bring it publicly, with this gift of interpretation. That's Paul's point, isn't it, that he's wanting to bring. There's no point having tongues without it. It's so key that on a Sunday when we bring it, we're asking God for interpretation. You might be wondering, well, can everyone speak in tongues? Is it just for a few, or can everyone? Well, there's no first or second class. The gifts are distributed across the church. I don't think that everyone will speak in tongues publicly, but I do believe the private gift of tongues is available to anyone who wants it. If you eagerly desire it enough, I'd be really surprised if God didn't give you that gift. Really surprised. And sometimes you might have to eagerly desire it for a while, like myself. But if you really want it, if you get desperate, I believe that God would give you that gift if you're up for it. Paul tells us that we should pray for the power to interpret. If you've got the gift of tongues, you can also pray that God would give you the ability to interpret those tongues. It's so key that we get that message of faith that comes off the back of it. I went in one meeting in my teenage years when I was really skeptical and couldn't speak in tongues myself, but wanted it. And I was with a girl who's a new Christian. She'd only been a Christian a few weeks. And somebody sang in tongues in the meeting. And if you remember, some of you know my story. I was in a non a church that didn't do the gifts of the Spirit. We just don't do that. Leave them at the door. Come in and worship God. And so you leave your gifts behind. And so, but anyway, someone snuck in under the radar. And she brought this gift of beautiful tongue. It was a song. And it was beautiful, really powerful. And of course, everyone's like, we're Baptists. And some Baptists do operate in the gifts. But that was, anyway, so I offended everyone who's Baptist now. But anyway, I used to be a Baptist as well, so it's okay. So anyway, she brought this lovely, fantastic tongue. And at the end of it, I nudged my friend and said, wasn't that amazing? She brought this gift of tongues. And she said, what are you talking about? I said, you know that lady? She's like, well, her, yeah? I said, you know that one who sung? She's like, yeah. I said, you know that language, because I was trying to help her because she was a new Christian. And she said, she was singing in English. I was like, what? She said, no, yeah. And she then went on to explain to me everything that that woman had just sung, the whole thing. She said, oh, yeah, and then she sung about this, and then she sung about this. I was like, now that is hardcore gift of interpretation. She was a new Christian, just walked in, never heard anything like it before. God gave her supernaturally a gift of interpretation. It's important to understand, though, that interpretation doesn't always work like that. The actual word that Paul uses here doesn't mean translation. It can mean that, but it usually means something else. When Jesus was walking with the disciples after he'd been raised from the dead, it says he interpreted to them all of the scriptures concerning him. It's the same word that's used. He interpreted to them all of the scriptures concerning him. What does that mean? He translated them? No. It means he gave them the sense of what those scriptures were meaning. And I believe that's what the gift of interpretation does. It gives us the sense. That's why sometimes you'll hear a tongue and it's way long and the interpretation says, God, or something like that. And maybe not quite that extreme. But you know what I mean? You think, hang on, how does that hang up? The tongue went on for ages and the interpretation was really short. Or the other way around. And you think, how does that work? Well, it's because the Spirit is giving the sense of the meaning rather than the literal translation. Let's just finish reading just the end of this passage. In verse 23, we've just got one last point. If therefore the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues, and an outsider or an unbeliever enters, will they not say that you're out of your minds? Some of you who are not yet Christians are thinking that right now. Anyway, if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outside enters, he is convicted by all, he's called to account by all, the secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. Lastly, prophecy in tongues used in the right way will impact those who don't know Christ. Prophecy is a sign first to the church that God is here. But the overspill of prophecy is for those who don't yet know God. And I believe that increasingly God's wanting us to move in the prophetic outside of the church walls, but also here. Notice Paul's expectation. Any healthy church will have those who are not yet believers, those who are looking in. And if that's your place tonight, you are really welcome here. If you can stand us, then we love you. If you can want to be with us, then we love you. Because you're welcome here. We were all on a journey one time. We were all on a journey to Christ. Don't ever feel in the King's Arms left out or on the fringe. You're really welcome here if you're on that journey. And it's the New Testament expectation that you'll be with us and amongst us. But you need to know, if you're on this journey with us, that the King's Arms is a place where we want to make the supernatural natural. We don't want Christianity that's without the power. We want the power of God. And so we'll try and explain it, and we'll try and work with it, and we'll try and explain it to you what's going on. But fundamentally, we've read the New Testament, and we cannot get away from the fact that God wants to come in power. Sometimes it's weird. Sometimes it blows our minds. Sometimes we haven't got a clue what's going on. But we can't run away from that because God wants to be God. And you're very much welcome if you want to come and be with us, to join with us on that journey. And we're all still learning as well. We're still learning as well. I remember about a year or so ago, there was a lady here called Claire, and she hadn't come for a number of years, about 6 years. And I saw her again and recognized her and said, hey, Claire, it's great to see you. I haven't been around. She said, I really have not been walking with God. And she wasn't a Christian. Not been walking with God. I've been away from him. And she just began to tell me something of her story. And 6 years previously, she had somebody in the meeting had stood her up and said, God wants to speak to you. and had given her a prophetic word, you know, and she said it was so awkward, you know, they stood me up in front of everybody and I felt, you know, really embarrassed. And she said, they gave me this prophetic word, but she said, you know what, I have never ever forgotten that word. She said, it was so spot on for me. I knew that God was speaking to me, and I've been on the run, but I knew that God was speaking to me, and it's one of the reasons that I've come back tonight. It's one of the reasons that I can't just kick it Christianity into touch and forget about it, because I knew that God was speaking to me. And I believe God wants us to be a place like that, where the supernatural becomes natural. That's what Jesus was like, wasn't he? He was so normal, so natural, and yet supernatural stuff wherever he went. I believe God is calling us to be a church like that. A little primer on prophecy in tongues from the Apostle Paul. Well, as I promised earlier, we've got a number of people who've been asking